We're talking about faith. Amen? The basics of faith. Hallelujah. From the Word of God. Amen? Glory be to God. Let me just remind you, we talked about the new birth way back, I think 11 lessons ago. We talked about the new birth. We talked about righteousness. We talked about the fact that we're seated in heavenly places in a position of tremendous authority in Jesus. Amen. We talked about the fact that we have the right to use the name of Jesus and expect results. We talked about the power of words. We talked about the necessity of corresponding actions of faith. Amen. James said, faith without works, or faith without acts, is dead. Like the body is dead without the spirit, James said, so too faith without corresponding actions is dead. Amen. We talked about three keys to powerful faith. Amen. You remember what those three keys are. Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. And faith is released through the mouth. Does someone need a drink of water? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Last time we were together, we talked about two kinds of faith. Anybody remember what they are? The Thomas kind of faith and the Abraham kind of faith. The Thomas kind of faith is a physical kind of faith that believes only in what it can see, hear, touch, and smell. Amen? Feely-feely faith. Amen? Feely-failing faith is what it is. And the Abraham kind of faith is the kind of faith that says, I don't care what I see, I don't care what I hear, contrary to the Word of God, I believe the Word of God is true. End of story. Amen. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith, and he continued to give glory to God in spite of the fact that his body was dead as far as birthing children, and his wife's body was dead, and they gave birth to a son. Amen. Hallelujah. They stood for 25 years believing that. Amen. Hallelujah. You think you've been standing? You think you've been standing? Hallelujah. Well, Abraham's the father of faith. Amen. So, we're talking about the importance. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about you can increase the faith that you have. Amen. You know, I said last time we were together, we talked about two kinds of faith. And we didn't do that, did we? What did we talk about last time we were together? You already have the God kind of faith. That's what we talked about the last time we were together. That was lesson 11, wasn't it? That was 10. Tonight's lesson number 11. You have the God kind of faith. Would you please say, I have the God kind of faith?
I have God kind
of faith. Now say it like this. Say, I have the God kind of faith.
I have God kind of faith.
From your diaphragm. Say, I have the God kind of faith.
I have the God kind of faith.
And I'm not afraid to use it.
I'm not afraid to use it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Terry, for leading us in that. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. Fear falls before the fortress of faith. Fear falls before the fortress of faith. My pastor, for the last 15 years of his life, Dr. Lester Summerall, was often heard to say, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. He would even say, feed your faith and starve your stinking doubts to death. Because doubt stinks in the nostrils of God. Unbelief, the Bible says, is a stench in the nostrils of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are we going tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to talk tonight about increasing the faith that we do have. We're going to look at some different types of faith from the Bible. You're going to enjoy this. You're going to be glad you came out. Amen? You're always glad you come out for this faith series. You're learning something about faith. Amen? Aren't you? Amen? Will you at least acknowledge that? We're learning something about faith. Amen? Hallelujah. I get in the Word of God. I get in there rooting around like a pig in a pecan patch. I'm always learning more about faith. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the best way to learn a subject is to study to teach it. And I've been endeavoring to teach faith, studying to teach faith for nearly 28 years now. That's how I've learned the subject of faith, by studying to teach it. Amen? Listen, it's up to you. Now, you already have the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, 3. If you weren't here with us last week, we read in Romans chapter 12 where the Apostle Paul said, God has imparted to every man not a measure of faith. No. The measure of faith. Amen? It would be unjust and unfair of God to start some people out with more faith than other people. He's a fair God. He's a just God. Amen? Paul said in Romans 2:11, he's no respecter of persons. Peter said in Acts 10:34, he opened his mouth and he said, I perceive of a truth. God is no respecter of persons. That means he doesn't respect me more than he respects you, and he doesn't respect you more than he respects me. He respects all the family the same. And he, at the new birth, he's given all of us the measure of faith. That you find that in Romans chapter 12. In verse 3, Paul said, think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I think we should say that together. Say, the measure of faith. He's imparted to each one of us at the new birth, the measure of faith. We all start out with the same amount of faith at the new birth. Now, some people develop their faith more than other people develop their faith. Amen? Somebody said, I thought the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. It does come. It actually says faith is developed by hearing. It's actually saying, Paul is actually saying to the Romans, he's telling them, the measure of faith that was imparted to you at the new birth is your responsibility to develop now by feeding it the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. You can develop the measure of faith. When he said faith comes by hearing, he was actually saying faith is developed. The measure of faith is developed by hearing and hearing and hearing and seeing and seeing and hearing and seeing and hearing and seeing the Word of God over and over and over again. We saw way back, a couple of lessons back in Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 22, where Solomon said faith enters into the human spirit through the eye gate and through the ear gate. You got more faith than you had 7 minutes ago when I started preaching. That's what the Bible says. Your faith level is rising as you're hearing the Word of God preached right now. It's supernatural. How does it work? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. All we know is it works. When we see the Word of God before us, we hear the Word of God properly preached and taught, our faith level increases, and then we are, as that's occurring, as our faith level is increasing, God is equipping us to do exploits in Him. Amen? And we're going to see from the Bible that there are different levels of faith. You can have grace faith, you can have little faith. You can have real faith, you can have phony faith. Amen? You can have teensy faith, you can have big faith. It's all up to you. We all start out with the same measure of faith. But to whatever degree that faith gets developed is up to you and it's up to me. Is this making sense to you tonight? Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 14, if you would. Amen? It's up to the individual to increase that faith. Feeding on God's Word and never exercising that faith is like eating physical food without exercise. Amen? You get flabby faith. You've got to use your faith. Amen? You've got to hear the Word, see the Word, hear the Word, and then you've got to release your faith through your mouths. Or you just got flabby faith. Where did I ask you to go again? We'll get over there. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's do it now. Matthew chapter 14, let's pick it up right here. I want to show you from the Word of God. We'll pass through these scriptures rather quickly tonight. I want you to see there are different levels of faith to achieve. Amen? You can have as much faith as you want. Amen? God didn't ordain that Billy Graham would have more faith than you. Billy Graham made that decision. To get in the Word, stay in the Word, and do great exploits for God. Granted, there's a special call in the man's life. But you can have as much faith as anybody. It's up to you. Matthew 14, we'll go with 22. Straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He did this frequently. That's how he increased the anointing on his life. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship with the boys in it was in the midst of the sea, being tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, the Hebrew people broke the night up into four watches. This was somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. This is the first time, by the way, anybody has ever walked on water. It's the first recording of anybody ever walking on water. Amen? And it's one of 38 water miracles in the Bible. Amen? He came walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, we would say they freaked. They were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, meaning it's a ghost. It's Casper. And they cried out for fear. It frightened them. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, stay where you are, Peter, it's not me. If it's you, who else do you think it was going to be, walking on the water? Jesus said to Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he actually walked on the water. This is the second time someone walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, Peter, he saw the wind blowing the waves around, realized what he's out there doing, he got back into fear and out of faith. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Here's the third water-working miracle. Now Jesus is walking on the water carrying Peter. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a miracle in and of itself. He stretched forth his hand, he caught him, and he said, O thou of, this is what I'd like you to see right here, little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Listen, Jesus said Peter had little faith, and that's why he began to sink when he started out walking on the water. It's possible to have little faith. And if it's possible to have little faith, it's possible to have great faith, or Jesus was being unfair, rebuking Peter for having little faith. Is that logical? Amen? If it's possible to have little faith, it's possible to have great faith. Turn backwards to Matthew chapter 8, if you would. And as you turn over there, I'm going to tell you, you can put this in your notes if you like, Jesus rebuked his disciples 4 times in the book of Matthew alone for having little faith. 4 times. You're going back to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at one of those times. Amen. 4 times in Matthew alone. In Matthew chapter 6, he rebuked them for having little faith for life's necessities. In Matthew chapter 8, he rebuked them for having little faith when it came to him protecting them. In Matthew 14, he rebuked them for having little faith in the working of miracles. And in Matthew chapter 16, he rebuked them for having little faith when it came to food. Amen? Now, we're talking about little faith, and I made the point to you, if it's possible to have little faith, it must be possible to have great faith, or Jesus was being unfair for rebuking these boys for having little faith. Amen? Matthew chapter 8, we're looking at some scriptures tonight, and I'm telling you from the Word of God, showing you from the Word of God, it's up to you to increase your faith. There are different levels of faith to achieve, and it's up to you how much faith you're going to have. Amen? Matthew chapter 8, we'll pick it up. Let's go with verse 5. Are you there? And when Jesus was, don't you love just reading the Gospels? Amen. These narratives of Jesus' life and ministry. Hallelujah. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. He was over 100 men, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. Notice he said, I am a man, not with authority. I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this man, you go and you do something, and he goes and he does it. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He's saying, I understand, Jesus. You know this if you've been around here at all. He was saying, I know how faith works, Jesus. I figure it works in the spirit realm the same way it works in the natural realm. I got men under me. I tell them to do something. They obey me, or retribution comes from Caesar, who's over me. See, he said, I'm a man under authority, not a man with authority. He said, I figure faith works the same way. The demon spirits are under you. You tell the demon spirits to loose my servant, and they must obey you, Jesus, or retribution won't come from you. It will come from God, your Father, whom you are under. He said, see, I'm a man under authority. I know how authority works. I see, Jesus, you're a man under authority, and you know how authority works. Don't bother going out to my house. Tell the devil, get off my servant, and he has to obey you, or retribution will come from God. Just like when I tell my men to obey me, if they don't, retribution will come from Caesar, and they know it. Look what Jesus said when that man described how faith works. When Jesus heard it, he what? He marveled, and he said to them that followed, he turned around and said, listen up, everybody. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not even in Israel. This guy's a Roman. He's not even a Jew. He didn't believe the book. He wasn't even in covenant with God. And he said, Jesus said, I've not found so great faith, not even in Israel, not even amongst people of the book. Well, he said he had great faith. We saw, he said to Peter, you have little faith, Peter. He said to the Roman, he said, you have great faith. So we see, you can have little faith or you can have great faith. Amen? This is one of only two times in Scripture that Jesus marveled, that the Bible says Jesus marveled. One of two times. He marveled at this man's great faith. You already know this. I tell you this all the time. You know why? Because I'm one heck of a teacher. I repeat things all the time. I do it all. You don't get it the first time. Amen? Some things just have to be repeated over and over and over and over. Amen? Not because we're dumb. It's just the way God programmed us. We're hardwired to hear things over and over and over. And once we get it, we've got it. He marveled two times. He marveled at this man's great faith. And we saw, when I taught on the glory this past Sunday, that Jesus could do no mighty works because of the unbelief in Mark chapter 6 of his town folk. They rejected him, and he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief, and he marveled at their unbelief. Jesus only marveled at two things in Scripture. He marveled at the centurion's great faith, and he marveled at the unbelief of his home folk. What's he marveling at in your life tonight? Your great faith or your unbelief? Faith. You make that decision. Amen? Get in the Word and change little faith to great faith if you don't have great faith. There's something you can do about it. Amen? So we just read from the Bible that Jesus rebuked one man for having little faith and he commended another for having great faith. You want to be rebuked or you want to be commended? I'll tell you this. I've been rebuked by my mentors and I've been commended by my mentors. Commendation's better. I prefer commendation to rebuke. I've been commended by my wife and rebuked by my wife. Commendation is better. Wouldn't you agree? Don't you enjoy commending me more than you enjoy rebuking me? Hallelujah. And I want you to know it's the same on this end when your time comes around. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no doubt here, is there, that Jesus Christ teaches in His Word that you can have little faith or you can have great faith. It's up to you. Amen? It's up to me. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 4 if you would. I want to see something the Apostle Paul said about achieving different levels of faith. We're talking about faith, and we're talking about the fact that you can increase what you have. You can increase the measure of faith. And those of you who are faithful to be in all these services, you are increasing your level of faith. And God is marveling at your level of faith because of your faithfulness. Amen? You can't be faithless and develop faith. That's why it's called faithful. Because you're full of faith. And you did something to get there.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Yes, I'm understandable in every octave, Barbara said. Here, look at what Paul said about achieving different levels of faith. He's talked about Abraham. You're there in Romans 4? We've been here a couple of times in this series. We'll pick it up in verse 17. Paul talking about God talking to Abraham. Paul talking about God talking to Abraham. As it is written, God says to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's how faith works, you see. He's describing how faith works. We call things that be not as though they were. Would you look at me just for a moment, please? If you have sickness in your body, you need to tell your body, be healed in Jesus' name. That's a practical application of calling things that be not as though they were. Body, be healed in Jesus' name. I tell the devil frequently, I bind your authority to put this in my body. Stop it in Jesus' strong name. That's speaking of things that are not as though they were. And your body comes in line. If we don't do it, God's not going to do it for us. He gave us the authority to do it. Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. And faith is released through the mouth. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. And we're His children. We should imitate Him. Who against hope, Abraham, against natural hope, everything outwardly was saying, you're never going to have a child. But he believed in hope, that's supernatural hope. Who against natural hope believed with supernatural hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, which God spoke to him, so shall thy seed be. And being not, please say, weak in faith. Look, well, Paul said you can be weak in faith. The measure of faith isn't enough to get the job done. You've got to strengthen it by hearing and seeing. Amen? He considered not his own body, now dead, incapable of reproducing, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Paul said Abraham was not weak in faith, but rather he was strong in faith. That means you can be weak in faith, or you can be strong in faith. It's up to you. It's up to me. How do we increase our faith level? By hearing the Word of God. So we keep these CDs out on the table. Amen? I'm not trying to make a profit on these things. That's why we give them away. So people can get the Word in them, get their faith level up, and walk in the miraculous. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Well, so we saw Jesus said you can have little faith. Jesus said you can have great faith. Paul said you can have weak faith. Paul said you can have strong faith. Amen? Faith can be increased. And how effectively you do it is up to you, not God. Go to Acts chapter 6. We'll look at a couple more verses of Scripture here. Acts chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Amen? Acts chapter 6, hallelujah. You get anything out of this? This is simple, but it's profound. Amen? And it needs to be heard. It needs to be understood. It needs to be received. It needs to be applied in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. You there in Acts chapter 6? We don't have time to do a whole lot of reading here tonight. We'll just look right over here, talking about Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man What? Full of faith. Lots of people are lots of full of stuff. Are full of lots of stuff. How did I do? Did I get that backwards? Hallelujah. Lots of people are full of lots of stuff. Amen? It's important to be full of faith. Listen, that word faith means covered. I mean full. That word full of faith, it means covered. It says Stephen was covered or saturated with faith. How did he get to that place? By staying in the Word. By staying in the Word of God. By spending time in the Word of God. If you can be full of faith, you can be half full of faith. Amen? If a glass can be full of water, it can be half full of water or quarter full of water. Stephen was full of faith. Not half full, not quarter full. He was full of faith. He kept himself in the Word. He did his own personal study, and he was in church, I'm sure, every time the doors were open. Go to James chapter 2, right after the book of Hebrews. We're just looking at some verses here tonight showing that there are different levels of faith to achieve, and it's up to you to what degree, what capacity you develop your faith, and to what degree you do exploits for God in your own world of influence and in the earth for God. Amen? It's up to you. Hallelujah. Where's that King James? Let me just take this right. Are you there in James chapter 2? Hallelujah. What are we talking about? How does faith come? How does faith work? And how is faith released? Hallelujah. You're right there in James chapter 2. Let's look at verse. We'll go with verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, or to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Listen, James said it's possible to be rich in faith. So if it's possible to be rich in faith, it's possible to be poor in faith. That word rich actually means abounding and wealthy. Abounding and wealthy. James said it's possible to be abounding and wealthy in faith. It's up to the individual. Amen? If it's possible to be wealthy in faith, it's possible to be poor in faith. Amen? Lots of Christians are poor in faith. But lots of Christians are wealthy in faith too. Amen? What's Jesus going to be marveling at in your life after tonight? Your faith or your unbelief? I'm not getting any answers here. Make up your mind. It's going to be faith. Amen? Amen. It's just a half a chapter a day. It's 3.5 chapters a week. It's 14 chapters a month. It's 150 chapters a year. It's a lot. People say, I don't have time to read 5 or 6 or 8 chapters of Scripture every day, so they don't read any. Because they feel condemned. If I can't read a lot, what's the sense? There's great sense in reading a little bit of Scripture. It adds up over the year, and it increases the anointing on your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are we? Hallelujah. Let me just see right here, James chapter 2. I got something in my notes, but I want to do this. Look at verse, James chapter 2, verse 21. Hallelujah. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made what? His faith was made perfect through corresponding actions of faith. See, faith comes by hearing, works by love. It's released by the mouth, but you also have to act like you believe it. For example, sick people don't stay in bed if they believe they're healed. Get up and do what you couldn't do. Well, come on. Hallelujah. Dr. Hagin got this revelation at 15 years old. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He saw from 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. And he heard a voice say to him, as he laid in that bed in McKinney, Texas, well, people don't stay in bed. And he realized it was the Holy Spirit talking to him. And he thought, I'm paralyzed from the waist down. But I can at least do what I can do, put some works to my faith. Paralyzed at 15 years old from the waist down. He decided, I'm going to throw my feet over the side of the bed and see what happens. He said, I threw them over the side of the bed and they just hit the floor like a couple of potatoes. Poop. Nothing. And he said, I'm going to grab the bedpost. I'm going to grab the bedpost and make myself stand up. See, he's putting corresponding actions to faith. He heard a voice say, well, people, don't stay in bed. So he decided, I'm going to act on my faith. The legs did nothing, couldn't hold him up. He grabbed onto the bedpost, pulled himself up off the bed. He said, still dead from the waist down, but because I acted on it, all of a sudden my legs filled with pins and needles. He said it was painful, horrible painful, to where he thought, what am I doing? But then the pain left and strength came into his legs and he was able to stand up on his legs and feeling came back to his legs because he acted on his faith. That's how he got the revelation of faith that he took around the world for 70 years. You're hearing it tonight, his influence in my life. Because of that miracle that happened in McKinney, Texas when he was 15 years old and he saw faith. Faith acts like it believes. We're talking tonight about having little faith. We're talking about having great faith. We're talking about having weak faith. We're talking about having strong faith. And we're talking about developing faith and acting on our faith. I'm going to read this to you again. Seest thou in verse 22 how faith wrought with his works, and by his works or his corresponding actions, his faith was made perfect. If you can have perfect faith, you can have imperfect faith. Imperfect faith is a person with imperfect faith does this. They develop faith. They develop faith. They read the word. They read the word. They hear the word properly preached. But they never act on it like Abraham did. They never act on it like Brother Hagin did at 15 years old. Their faith remains imperfect. They have faith, but it's imperfect. It becomes perfect as you act on it. If you believe you're healed, you'll get up and you'll at least continue to try to do what you couldn't do before. And somehow that causes your faith to go more effectively into operation. It's supernatural. Amen? Now don't do anything crazy. If you're listening to us by recording or radio or internet or even in this room, but I'm talking particularly about people listening to us by recording. If you're in the hospital, I'm not telling you to get yourself out that hospital, stop taking medication, and go running down the hall in your jammies. But I am telling you, ask the Holy Spirit what you can do to act your faith and then obey Him when He tells you. He told Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin heard a voice say, well, people, don't stay in bed. Ask the Holy Ghost to tell you what to do so you can act your faith. And if you'll obey Him, you will receive a supernatural manifestation of healing in your body, maybe in your finances, maybe in your family. What are we talking about tonight? Faith. We're developing faith. Amen? Stephen was a man full of faith. James said it's possible to be rich in faith, so it's possible to be poor in faith. Abraham perfected his faith by acting on his faith. Amen? And perfect faith implies you can have imperfect faith. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's the last one we'll look at. Just opening the Word up tonight and getting blessed. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. You know it's possible to have phony faith? Do you know it's possible to have phony faith? A lot of people have phony faith. Amen? Oh, they talk the talk, but they don't want to walk the walk. Amen? They love to hide. Whoa! Glory be to God. You know, it's always the ones in pastoring people and ministering for other pastors for more than 20 years now, it's always the ones with the big mouths who come around, oh, glory to God, glory be to God, Pastor, the Lord sent me here, whoa, we're going to raise the... They're always the first one to go. They're always the first, you get a word of correction out the door, amen? It's the quiet ones who come and sit and learn the word that God always uses, amen? It's always the... They got phony faith. It's braggadocio. They don't even realize that it's not even faith. It's presumption. They don't understand how faith comes. It comes by hearing and hearing and acting and obeying and hearing and acting and obeying and hearing and giddy up and hearing and acting and obeying. Amen. Not braggadocio. Hallelujah. That's phony faith. The kind that talks real big, but then you bring one word of correction and out the door they go. That's phony faith. You can have phony faith. Want to see it right here in 1 Timothy chapter 1? I'm not talking about anybody in particular, amen? But you folks are thinking about people in particular. It's hard not to. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment, you there? You see that, the end of the commandment? The end of the commandment, he said, here's my final word, Timothy, on the subject of faith. The end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You see that? It means not phony and sincere. Faith unfeigned. The literal Bible calls it faith unhypocritical. Some people have hypocritical faith. They talk one way, but behind the scenes they're living another way. And the Holy Spirit brings a word of correction to them. They don't want to change. They're running. They're off and running. That's phony faith. Amen? That's hypocritical faith. And we can't be moved. When people come through with phony faith, the Lord brings a word of correction to them. They don't want to receive it. They can't go up any higher. Out the door they go. We can't be moved by that. We need to just stay steady, hold steady. We're in our wealthy place. God promised in Isaiah, in Psalm 66, in 11 and 12, I believe, He said, I will bring you through the fire and the water into your wealthy place. And He'll do that. As we, you know, let me just remind you again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. Barbara, what does the Amplified Bible say? I'm going to just kind of paraphrase it for you before we close here tonight. Does someone need a drink of water? Does someone need to get Jane to drink a water in the back there? You got a drink? Okay. Amen. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 say? Let me just read it out loud here. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as He wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. God places the members in the body. We don't get to decide where we're going to church. God places us in the body, each one of them according to His will, as He sees fit and with the best adaptation. I guess I said that to say this. I commend you for staying when so many people are running. It's not my fault they're running. Amen. They want to make it my fault. Too many rules. Too many regulations. I don't have any rules except John 13:34. Jesus said, one new rule I give, or one new commandment, that you love one another even as I've loved you. I love people enough to tell them the truth. When I see they're in sin, they're in danger, I tell them the truth. Someone said to me, Pastor, someone actually said this to me. Now, someone actually said this to me. They said, Pastor, if you keep correcting people in their sin, we're never going to have a church. I said, that's stupidity gone to seed. If you keep correcting people in their sin, we're never going to have a church. Let's stand up if we would tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. If I don't, we're never going to have a church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I commend you people for your strength of faith. I commend you for your great faith, for your strength of faith. I commend you for your non-hypocritical faith, for your non-phony faith, for your faith unfeigned, for always being here, because the Holy Ghost told you to be here. Amen? And not bailing because other people bail. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say, I commend myself. I pat myself on the back. Say, self, you're doing a good job. Now pat someone on the back behind front of you. Amen? Tell them, listen, you're doing a good job being here tonight. Eh? I want you to commend one another for doing a good job and being here and being obedient. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:18-19, the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. Amen? Hallelujah. The willing and the obedient. Not the unwilling and the disobedient. That's Isaiah 1:18 and 19. The willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. You know, the Bible also says in Hebrews 5:8 that Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things He suffered. You know, He suffered staying in place when He wanted to run. Jesus! Somebody said, well, my Jesus didn't have to learn obedience. He came equipped with obedience. No, He didn't. Hebrews 5:8 says, He learned obedience by the things He suffered. And sometimes to hold steady in the place called there, it brings great suffering. It's hard. It's not easy to stay in place when your flesh is wanting to bail. Amen? Remember David's mighty men in 1 Chronicles chapter 16? Those guys, they refused to break rank and run. They were mentally disciplined and they were physically disciplined, just like you. And because of their mental and spiritual, emotional and physical discipline, they wouldn't run when the pressure was on to change and hold steady. God put those men in position to where they took up an offering for the building of the temple. And those men gave $3.1 billion towards the building of the temple. And God gave them that money because of their obedience to not break rank and run. They were determined to be of one heart and one mind to make David king in Jehovah God. Father, I pray for those in this room tonight who have had the faith, the stamina, the emotional, Father, and the moral substance to stay in place when so many are running, God. So many that are running from Your Word just like they ran from Jesus, Father. The Bible says in John 6, and many of His disciples, not the 12, but many of His other disciples walked with Him no more because He said hard things from the Word of God. Father, these people have stayed. You have promised in Your Word. Please come up here. This is what the Lord wants me to do in closing tonight. Amen. You come up here. Every person in this room, you come up here. I'm going to lay my hands on you and impart to you by the Spirit of God, because He just put it on my heart, what is called in the Bible a barakah blessing. Amen? Come and line up. Come and line up and expect a blessing from God for your faithfulness and your obedience. For your always being here and developing strong faith. For always being here and developing great faith. For not shooting your mouth off that you're going to do something and then not do it. But for just doing something because the Lord told you to do it. Amen? And not trying to draw attention to yourself because of it. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I release the anointing of God. A barakah leadership blessing, Father. You have ordained in the Old and New Testament that your leaders can impart special blessing, Father, by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of grace. I don't do it all the time, because I like to wait until You tell me to do it. And You just put it on my heart. You bring them up here now. They've been faithful. And impart Your blessing to them. In Jesus' name.